We're turning to Romans 8 and verses 28 through to 39 this morning. Verse 28 of Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I've given my talk this morning the title, A New Year's Resolution? I wonder if you're one of those people who makes a New Year's resolution. Perhaps you are a health conscious person and you've resolved that in 2019 you will take at least 3 brisk walks each week. Or perhaps you have too much clutter in your loft and you have earmarked 2019 as the year when you will get up there and sort it out. Or perhaps you have always wanted to do something different, and you've decided that this year you're going to try your hand at something like abseiling or skydiving. Or maybe if you were listening to Radio 4 this morning, you've decided that you will change your password for your internet connection. And you will no longer have the password which apparently many people have, which is password. Or password 1234. Amazing, isn't it? New Year's resolutions can be good and great fun. But more importantly, I believe that we should spend a little time this morning thinking about what God has in mind for us for 2019. And that's why I choose to read again from Romans 8, 26 to 39 this morning. And Romans 8 and verse 29 says this. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's what God wants of us for 2019 and any year. That we might be like his Son. If you're anything like me, you will immediately realize that you are a long way from being like Jesus. But if we know our Bibles, we will not be shocked by that. We will hopefully be disappointed by that, but we will not be shocked by that. And I mention that this morning because I believe it's important for us to just take that on board. Because I have known people to be so burdened by their lack of perfection that they have become introvert and go through life feeling a complete failure. And God doesn't want us to do that. I've also known people to react in quite the opposite way. And because they believe they should be perfect, pretend they are perfect. As I've mentioned before, I was at a pastor's fraternal on one occasion. And this pastor, or one of the pastors there, said, I thank God yesterday that I had not sinned. And I looked across the room at him and I said, brother, not even the sin of pride? The fact is that in this life, none of us will achieve total Christ-likeness, perfection. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words that we just read, freely acknowledges that. He admitted his limitations. In Philippians 3 and verse 12 he writes, not that I have already attained, or have already been perfected, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ also laid hold on me. Indeed, earlier in this book of Romans, he wrote, O wretched man that I am. And Paul had to acknowledge that because of his struggle with sin in his life, he failed to do what he wanted to do. And he did the things he hated doing. So then what hope is there that we can ever fulfill the purpose God has for us and be conformed to the likeness of his Son? I believe that we can draw comfort from the fact that what God plans, what God purposes, he always brings to pass. What God plans, what God purposes, he always brings to pass. And so, in verse 39 of Romans 8, having told us that God's aim was that we should be conformed to the image of his Son, that God had predetermined that, God had predestined that, he goes on to say, those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. I love that word, justified. I love that because it means that God has provided a way through the death and resurrection of Jesus for our sin to be dealt with, for us to be pardoned or justified and declared right with God. Because of his immense love for us, Jesus accepted the punishment that was due to us because of our sin and freely and willingly died to set us free so that we might be accepted as the children of God. That's what justified means. We're acquitted. But more than that, he then dispatched his disciples and successive generations of Christians to take this gospel, to take this good news into all the world, calling men and women and young people to repent of their sin and to receive him as their Saviour and Lord. And God, by his Holy Spirit, used that gospel to bring people like us to himself so that we might be forgiven. So there was the call of the gospel. And in response to the call of the gospel, as we come in repentance and in faith to Jesus, we are justified. But that's not all. He says we are glorified. We are glorified. Let me read that again. Those he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, those he also glorified. That's in the past tense. That's in the past tense. How come? Because what Paul has written is so certain, he can talk of that which is future as past. It's going to happen. So although you and I know we are far from being the people God would have us be, God will fulfill his purpose in his Son. He says it again in Philippians 1 and verse 6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. So we can rest in that great truth this morning. But that does not mean that we have no responsibility to work at becoming like Christ. No. And so my second point comes from 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, where we read that Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. That word used for example took me back to my time in infant school and to the early years of my employment. In infant school, we used to have writing lessons. I don't know whether they have writing lessons in school these days, but I remember my teacher taking a piece of chalk. Well, she'd drawn some lines very carefully on the blackboard to begin with. And she wrote a letter A, a little A. And we had in our exercise books, between those very narrow lines, to write a whole row of letters A, because we were learning to write. She set us the example, and we followed. And then, in my early years of employment, in fact, in my first full-time job, Part of my work involved accurately tracing plans of fields and then plotting newly laid land drains on them. Underneath the tracing paper was the plan, and I had to very carefully copy the example underneath. And that's what we are called to follow, the example that Jesus has set for us, to carefully follow that example. Now, I find those words powerful and challenging. Do I genuinely believe that the example of Jesus is the best, indeed, the perfect model for me to follow? Do I believe that? And secondly, do I want to follow his example? And then, having established that, yes, I believe that the example of Jesus is the best that there is, and I want to follow his example, how can I do it? There are two vital ingredients to help us. They are shockingly original. One, reading the Bible, and two, praying. Never heard those words before, have you? Two vital ingredients to help us as we seek to follow Jesus. We are to read our Bibles and discover the example that Jesus sets for us. And we're to pray, asking God by his Holy Spirit to help us follow Jesus, to be more and more the people he wants us to be. Now, to get you started, let me highlight a few of the examples that Jesus sets for us and that are mentioned in the scriptures. The obvious place to start is John 15 and verse 12, where Jesus says, "Love one another." How? "As I have loved you." So there's the example, and there's the instruction. "Love one another as I have loved you." In other words, Jesus is saying, "See how I love. Follow my example." The love that Jesus speaks about there is agape love. Love that I once described in a wedding sermon as love in its top hat and tails. Self-giving love. Love at its best. Love that always wants the best for another person or for others. The love that took Jesus to the cross. Will we seek his help to love like that? In Colossians 3 in verse 13, Paul tells us that we are to bear with one another and forgive one another as Christ forgave you. There's the example, and we are to follow. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, Paul encourages us to adopt the mind of Christ and humbly serve. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then in 1 John and 3 and verse 16, John reminds us that no sacrifice was too great for Jesus, and he calls on us to be ready to follow his selfless example as we serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. So some lovely examples in the scriptures of the life of Jesus. that we are called to follow. But the example of Jesus is not confined to positive situations, but includes negative ones as well. So, for instance, what a great example the Lord Jesus provides for us in the face of temptation. How did the Lord Jesus deal with temptation? Now, the fact that Jesus faced temptation and yet lived a sinless life confirms to me that facing temptation is not a sin. Jesus faced temptations, yet was without sin. Wrestling with temptation is not a sin. Rather, in Scripture, it is entertaining a temptation and yielding to that temptation that is sin. But how did Jesus overcome temptation? Read the stories of the temptations of Jesus, and at least two things stand out. Firstly, he was a man who knew the Scriptures, and he was able to wield the Scriptures as a sword as he held the enemy at bay. In each of those temptations, he quoted the Scriptures. Secondly, he was in constant communion with God, as we would encourage others to be in constant communion with God and to be people of prayer. So what an example to follow. And in addition to that, we have the wonderful promise in Scripture that no temptation has seized us except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Will we, with the help that is given us by God, seek to follow the example of Jesus? We should also bear in mind that the primary reference in that beautiful word verse in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, when we're encouraged to follow the example of Jesus, the primary reference there is to our suffering as Christians. Our Lord sets us an example in tough times. And what an example he sets, for even as he goes to the cross, he remains focused, faithful, and at peace, knowing that God is in control and what was happening was according to his purpose and will. But in addition to the examples that our Lord sets for us, in the Scriptures we can also ask the Lord to help us by his Spirit. And so we have that wonderful verse in Romans 5 and verse 5 that tells us that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. God's love, the love of Christ, is poured into our hearts to help us be more like Jesus. And Philippians 2 and verse 13 tells us that God is at work within us to will and to act according to his good pleasure. And so with the guidance of Scripture and the help of the Holy Spirit, we are called to follow in his steps. But what when we fail? What when we fail? Throughout this life, we will struggle as we seek to be more and more like Christ. And there will be times when you and I fall and fail. What then? Praise God, He has provided a way to restore us. That's why I said we shouldn't be shocked when we fail. He has provided a way to restore us. He says, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Let us ask his help, his forgiveness, his restoring. I observed one day a little child running along the road, and he fell over. What did his mum do? She picked him up, of course. And she brushed him down, and gave him a hug, and set him on his way. And when we fall, our Heavenly Father, if we turn to him, will pick us up, brush us down, and send us on our way. But the great news is that God's project will not be thwarted. He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. And having begun his project, he will complete it. It will happen. So my final encouragement this morning is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him. God has predestined that we should be like him. He has given to us the example of Jesus to follow, that we might be more and more like him. But when he appears, we shall be like him. And the day is coming when our Lord Jesus will return in power and great glory, and will bring this world of sin and suffering to an end, and usher in his kingdom in all its fullness. And when he appears, we shall be like him. And so as we step out into 2019, let's take on board what God has in mind for us, to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. May we trust him and follow him. Amen.